This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michael Reagan, the son of the late President Ronald Reagan, who on Sunday would be turning 100 years old. Michael is also the author of the brand new book, The New Reagan Revolution, How Ronald Reagan's Principles Can Restore America's Greatness. And Michael, it's great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Well, obviously, a lot of attention will be focused on your dad and his legacy as we mark 100 years since his birth in February of 1911. You knew him for close to the last 60 years of his life. And at what point did you notice that he was going from someone who was keenly interested in politics to someone who was going to be a major player in politics?
Well, I think that probably happened in the 1960s, very early 1960s, when he really got involved with the Goldwater campaign and what have you, and of course going around the country as part of the General Electric Theater, go out speaking to groups and what have you. You know, it was my sister Maureen who actually cornered my father sitting down with him in 1962 and told him, you know, someday you're going to be president of the United States of America. And my father just kind of laughed at her. You know, that'll never happen. You just don't become president of the United States of America. He never thought it was really in the works at all. He was very happy doing what he was doing, speaking and helping others. He never thought of himself in that position.
In terms of what genuinely got him interested then, obviously he ran for governor. You mentioned the Goldwater campaign, but ran for governor in 1966. At what point during his governorship do you think that he pretty much realized that he was going to be a presidential contender?
Well, I think other people really saw that before he did. You know, as in 1968, they got him to go, you know, run as a favorite son, 1972, and what have you, in Miami, and in 1976. But, you know, it all really happened, you know, and I write about that in the book, the fact that, you know, you had Bobby Kennedy, who, you know, was the Attorney General of the United States. My dad's doing General Electric Theater. It's in the top 10 every Sunday night, 9 o'clock, CBS. And he calls the head of General Electric, and he says, you guys want to renew your government contract? And G says, of course we do. He says, well, if you want your government contracts renewed, you need to cancel General Electric Theater and fire that host. 48-72 hours, General Electric cancels General Electric Theater, fires Ronald Reagan, but now makes him more available politically. He goes and gets a job doing the Borax with the old ranger at Borax, but it gives him more time to get involved politically, and he has angst now against the Kennedys, of course, and all that's going on. But with that time, he's allowed to give the speech of a lifetime called The Speech Today, referred to, A Time for Choosing, which is what really launched that political career of Ronald Reagan. So you can actually go back to Bobby Kennedy and say, hey, Bobby, thanks for that phone call.
At the time that your dad was getting involved in the Goldwater campaign, getting involved with California state politics, and eventually launching his own White House campaigns, the Republican Party was kind of known as the country club Republicans, the blue bloods, the green eyeshade folks, not ones who were overly conservative, overly fiscally aggressive when it came to tax cuts. They were more interested in balancing the budget, which was also important. But your dad really kind of turned the Republican Party on its ear, and obviously Barry Goldwater was kind of a pioneer in that as well. Talk about how your dad kind of came to those conclusions and how he was able to convince, obviously, a majority of the Americans to follow him.
Well, you know, the reality is Ronald Reagan was probably the Tea Party of his day. He was the change. He was the kind of grassroots, the hierarchy of the party, the Rockefeller Republicans, which still exist, by the way, were really against Ronald Reagan, what he stood for. You know, wanting strong defense and all these other things that he talked about. And they didn't like the fact that here was this upstart in California, an actor, union leader. My God, what's going on when us elitists back on the East Coast know so much more than that guy does? And they called him every name in the book. But Ronald Reagan lived in grassroots America, and he talked to America. That was that whole General Electric era that he was in. And he really knew what grassroots America thought and what really attracted them. He didn't get caught up in the social issues so much. He found issues where everybody agreed. And those were those Reagan Democrats came on board, and independents came on board, because he found areas of agreement with those people and moved forward. And that's what made Ronald Reagan really, really great. When he announced, you know, he was going to run in 1980 to the family, you know, he didn't say David Rockefeller called him or the head of GE or the head of Coca-Cola called him to run. He talked about chambermaids, bellhops, baggage handlers everywhere he went. These people are coming up to him and saying, Governor, you got to run again, you got to run again. And he says, based on that, I'm going to run again. And I tell the story in the book about afterwards, my sister Maureen, my wife Colleen, and I go out for a glass of wine, and my sister raises her glass and says, oh, if he doesn't make it this time, we'll run him for the presidency of the chambermaids at bellhops.
We're talking with Michael Reagan, author of the new book, The New Reagan Revolution, and we'll get to the book after one more question, Michael. Obviously, your dad's such a public figure your entire life, first in Hollywood and then obviously on the political stage, and people certainly have their ideas of him, their memories of him, his great speeches, his great moments as a leader. What do you think of most of him as a dad on his birthday?
What I miss is those times at the ranch, you know, when I was, you know, younger, and Saturday mornings I used to sit on the curb, you know, at 333 South Beverly Glen, where my mother and I lived with my sister, and he'd come around the corner from Sunset Boulevard. I'd see that stage wagon coming around the corner and stop and pick me up, and I'd get in the front seat with a friend or my sister or just myself and drive out to the ranch with my dad, listen to the stories, you know, that he would tell. And those afternoons at the ranch, you know, be riding horses or shooting ground squirrels or swimming or chopping wood or whatever we were doing, those are just really great, great moments that I had with my dad. And probably what I remember most about my dad is, as I got older, is the fact that, you know, I was raised by a single mother, Jane Wyman. My parents divorced when I was three, but Ronald Reagan never forgot about his first family. He never forgot he was a father to not only ultimately Patty and Ron, but he was also a father to Maureen and Michael. And he never forgot that, and he always made sure that we were involved, and bless him for that.
Michael Reagan is the son of the late President Ronald Reagan. His latest book is The New Reagan Revolution, How Ronald Reagan's Principles Can Restore America's Greatness. Please look for the second half of this interview as Michael and I discuss the key points of that book and how he believes his father's political success can lead to conservative political success once again. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.